Good morning. It's good to be seen by so many of you. I can almost sense your presence here in the room. I know where you sit, so I can almost see you sitting out here. Welcome. We're going to be spending time in the Old Testament this morning in Psalm chapter 18. You might want to go ahead and turn there and wait for me. Many of you know, my mom died and I was very young, and I was raised by a bachelor father. He was from North Texas. Rough-cut country boy. His life story would be well written by Mark Twain. He grew up in a little community up there in North Texas called Pink Hill. I'll kind of zero this in for you. Pink Hill is just outside of Bells. You know where it is yet? Bells is 12 miles east of Sherman. Sherman is 60 miles north of Dallas. Just kind of home in on you there. Country boy. All of them were country boys. He died when I was 36, and I was responsible for kind of getting the funeral arrangements all made. He wanted his boyhood friends to be his pallbearers. He had written their names in the leaf page of his worn-out old Bible. So that's the first thing I did is I went to the Bible and checked out their names so as to contact them. The problem was, these guys all knew each other by their childhood nicknames. So there on the leaf page of his worn-out old Bible, their names were listed. Pee-wee, Runt, Chunk, Tudor, Skinner, and Lefty. How do you look up names like that in the phone book? I mean, even if it was today, you'd have a hard time finding those on the internet. But I finally tracked them all down, got them all together. And I sat and listened as these guys told stories about my dad, stories that were good stories, but stories I had not heard. And I want you to know, I learned some things about my dad that I did not know. It occurs to me there are things about our Heavenly Father that we do not know, or things that we don't think about very often, things that we need to be thinking about today as we're going through the difficulties we're facing with this virus. Now, I want to spend some time dwelling on those things. Here in the midst of the coronavirus quarantine, we might be wondering, we might be asking, who's in charge? Who's guarding my home? Who's watching over my family? Who's in control of the world? We might be asking, is there any reason for hope in the midst of this virus we're facing? Well, the answers to those questions are God's in control, God's watching over our families, God's guarding our homes, and yes, there's reason, great reason for hope. This morning I want to title the message, Our Father is a Mighty Fortress. Or to say it another way, God is our constant protector. We can have absolute confidence in Him in the midst of this virus. We can have absolute confidence in Him in the midst of all that's going on in this world, despite what we're seeing on television, despite the grim reports we're hearing on the news. We can trust God to be in total control, and we can have great hope in Him. And I want to dwell on that for the next few weeks. This morning, we're going to look at Our Father is a Mighty Fortress. Let's begin with this. We're going to be in Psalm chapter 18, so if you don't have that, please find that now. He hears us. God hears us. He hears us when we pray. Here's Psalm 18, beginning in verse 4. The ropes of death were wrapped around me. The torrents of destruction terrified me. The ropes of Sheol. Sheol is an Old Testament a word for Hades or hell. The ropes of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. I called to the Lord in my distress, and I cried to my God for help. From His temple He heard my voice, and my cry to Him reached His ears. I've got to tell you right up front as we begin, I love this passage. Psalm 18 is a powerful, powerful passage. Let me point out a few things that are so important as we try to grasp the reality of God hearing us. God hears us. First, God hears us because he's real. Now, sometimes we just have to say that. That just has to be said. That just has to be focused on. God hears us because he's real, because he's really there. Praise God. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 16, we find the great prophet Elijah challenging the 450 prophets of Baal to a duel of sorts. Now, somehow, these 450 prophets of Baal had convinced the people of God to stop worshiping God and to start worshiping Baal. Elijah had to do something about that. So he challenged these 450 prophets to a duel. He told them to go ahead and cry out to their God to consume their sacrifice to him. So they cried out to Baal all day long, on into the evening. If you go back and read that, Elijah even taunted them while they were going through their process, and nothing happened. Not a thing happened. Do you know why Baal did not answer their prayers? Because Baal's not real. There is no Baal. He's an imaginary God. He's a made-up God. He's a false God. Baal could not answer their prayers because there's no such thing. He's not real. But then Elijah entered into his side of the transaction. What he did is he got 12 large stones and piled them there. Then he covered the stones with wood. Then he laid his sacrifice on top of the wood, and he dug a trench around this altar. Then he brought 3 large vases of water, and he poured the water over the sacrifice until the sacrifice was soaked, and the wood was soaked, and the stones were soaked, and the earth was soaked, and the water from these 3 big vessels filled the trench around that sacrifice. Then Elijah cried out to our God, and God responded with fire. God brought fire down upon that sacrifice, and he consumed the sacrifice. He consumed all the wood. He consumed the stones. He burnt the soil beneath the sacrifice, and he licked up water out of that trench. Pretty impressive thing to see, I'm sure. Now, do you know why God answered Elijah's prayer? One of the reasons God answered Elijah's prayer is because God is real. He's really there. He's the God of all eternity. He's the God of all creation. Many, many gods are named. Many, many gods are worshipped. They're not real. Our God is real. Our God heard and answered Elijah because our God is real and he hears our prayers. What an amazing thing. I don't know when public schools are going to reconvene after this virus. I'm being told they'll reconvene in the fall. But I want you all to know I'm going to continue my loud outcry that they allow prayer back in public schools. Now, I'm warned by some of my pastor friends that we should not do that. Because they say, well, Steve, if we allow prayers back into public schools for our God, they're also going to have to allow prayers back in the schools, for the Buddhists and for the Hindus and for the Muslims and so on and so forth. If they allow our prayer, they have to allow their prayer to their God. And my answer is, well, good. Let them pray to their gods. And we'll pray to our God, and our God will win because he's really there. He's really there, and he hears us, and he answers our prayers. Now, we're talking about God hearing us. Here's another thing, a second thing. God hears us because he's listening. Oh, I want you to know that. Psalm 34:15, the Bible says, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry for help." God's always listening to our prayers. His ears are always riveted on us as we pray. You need to know that. You need to remember that. Here in the midst of and the continuation of this virus, when you pray, God listens to you. Have you ever talked to someone and you can tell when you're talking, they're not listening to you? Can you tell they're looking past over your shoulder or they're checking their watch? They have no interest in what you're saying. They're simply just not listening. You ever talk to anyone like that? You know, what you do is you just stop talking. They're not listening, so you stop talking. We need to know today, Scripture tells us, God's not like that. God is always listening to us when we pray. When we lift up our voice, He's there and He's listening to every single word. He's very interested in everything we're saying while we pray. So God's real and God's listening. Here's the third thing. God hears us because we're His children. You're His child. I'm His child. By our faith in Christ Jesus and our following the Lord in our lives, we are His children. He loves us. When we cry out, He hears us because we are His children. There's a video floating around on YouTube right now of a young daddy and his 14-month-old son. Now, the son is a hoot because he can't speak a word. He hasn't learned a single word in his vocabulary yet, but he mimics all of the motions and all the emphasis. He just talks and babbles and babbles and talks. And the funny thing is, the dad talks back with him. The two of them carry on this one-sided conversation. The little boy just ba 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 ba. He asks questions and he does the hand motions, and then the dad responds with appropriate hand motions and appropriate actions. These two carrying on this conversation. The dad doing all he can to understand that boy. The dad doing all he can to listen to that boy because that boy is his child. Now you got to know, some of our prayers cannot make sense to God. Some of our prayers are little more than babbling as we pray. Oh, but we need to know God is listening and God's making sense out of our prayers. God is interpreting our babbling. He loves us and He's hearing us and He's going to answer our prayers because we are His children. He's real. He's listening because He loves us. God's our mighty fortress because He hears us. Now, there's a second thing we're going to find in our passage I want to focus on also, and that is He helps us. God hears us, and God helps us. Now, we just read verse 6. Let me read it again. I called to the Lord in my distress. I cried to my God for help. From His temple, He heard my voice, and my cry to Him reached His ears. My cry to Him reached His ears. Now, if you go back and read this psalm, and we just touched on this a little bit, the psalmist is burdened because his enemies are pursuing him. The psalmist is burdened because he's overwhelmed by his enemies. And in verse 6, he cries out to God, and he says, God hears him. But I want you to listen to God's response, beginning in verse 7. Listen to what God does. Then the earth shook and quaked. The foundation of the mountains trembled. They shook because He burned with anger. Smoke rose from His nostrils and consuming fire came from His mouth. Coals were set ablaze. He parted the heavens and came down, a dark cloud beneath His feet. He rode on a cherubim and flew soaring on wings of the wind. He made darkness His hiding place. Dark storm clouds, His canopy around Him. From the radiance of His presence, His clouds swept onward with hail and blazing coals. The Lord, listen to this, the Lord thundered from heaven. The Most High projected His voice. He shot His arrows and scattered them. He hurled lightning bolts and routed them. The depths of the sea became visible. The foundations of the world were exposed. At Your rebuke, Lord, at the blast of Your breath, of Your nostrils. Wow! He's not through. Verse 16, He reached down from on high and He took hold of me. He pulled me out of the deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my distress, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out to a wide open place. He rescued me because He delighted in me. Man, I got to tell you, I just really like that imagery. I like it that when I pray, God moves the structure of heaven in response to my prayers. God hears me like a little child babbling because I'm being faced with difficulty or with my enemies. And oh my goodness, God moves the floorboards and the gears of heaven responding in order to help me and to help you when you pray. I cut this out of a magazine a couple of years ago. Unfortunately, I didn't cut out the author's name, so I'm just going to have to read his story without giving him credit. Let me read this to you. It's just a small paragraph. He said, I finished up my business at the bank and headed for the car. My little Sarah was with me. She's just 4 and is filled with energy and boundless enthusiasm. She raced toward the entrance. She began to push against the large glass door, but it would not budge. By the time I caught up to her, she was puffing and struggling to get it open. I placed my hand on the door and gently pushed. She gave one last shove, and it opened. I did it, she boasted. I chuckled. She was unaware that it was my hand that had actually moved the heavy door. You ever stop and wonder how many heavy doors God's opened for you and you thought you did it? You ever wondered how many enemies God has delivered you from and you thought you did it? Have you ever thought about those difficulties as you look back in your life, those difficulties that you just miraculously got through them? And you said, wow, that was close. It didn't even occur to you that God brought you through those difficulties. Friends, here's what we have to understand. God's real. God's there. God listens to our prayers. And He moves. He helps. He does what needs to be done to bring us through those difficulties. That's why you're here with us today. That's why you're able to speak and move and do and live and enjoy life, because God's been there for you. God helps. And you know what? He always will. He will help you as you're going through the difficulty you're facing right now. Of course, we're facing the coronavirus. But you have difficulties going on in your life that are kind of independent of that, aren't they? Listen. God hears your prayers, and God helps you when you pray. But I've got to move on here. We're going to run out of time. There's a third thing. As we're looking here at God being a mighty fortress, He hides us. He hides us. I've saved these first three verses for last because it's in these first three verses that David so beautifully describes God as our mighty fortress. Listen to this, verses 1, 2, and 3. I love you, Lord. That's what he starts with. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my mountain where I seek refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I called the Lord, who is worthy of praise. Listen, and I was saved from my enemies. Did you see those names as he went through that? Look at the different names David uses to describe God. My strength, my rock, my fortress, there you go, my deliverer, my God, my mountain, can you picture this? My shield, my salvation, and my stronghold. How many is that? That's 9 names for God that all point to His protective greatness. And by the way, all 9 of them are preceded with this first person singular possessive pronoun, my. God is my mighty fortress, is what David is saying. I'm sure we all freely agree that God is a mighty fortress, and probably even agree that God is the mighty fortress. And I'm sure we would stand in the assembly of other followers and we all together would shout out, God is our mighty fortress. But that's not what the psalmist is saying. The psalmist is saying, God is my mighty fortress. God is your mighty fortress. God is your personal mighty fortress for you in your life as you face what you're going through. God is your mighty fortress. I got to tell you, friend, that's a great truth. God hides you from your enemies and anything in the world that threatens to harm you. I've probably told you this before, but after being totally exposed to the enemy for my entire tour in Vietnam, when I got 10 days or 2 weeks from rotating home, they sent me back to the actual rear and put me in a bunker to keep me safe. They did that with almost everybody as they grew close to the rotation date home. They put me in a bunker, mostly underground. The roof was covered with iron and sandbags, but it was mostly underground. Now, the war continued to rage up above. The enemies continued to wreak havoc up above, but I want to tell you, I slept like a baby, safe from my enemies, in that fortress, in that mighty fortress, save for my enemies. Listen to Psalm 91, first few verses. The one who lives under, there you go, the one who lives under the protection of the Most High dwells in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. He will cover you with his feathers. You will take refuge under his wings. His faithfulness will be a protective shield. God offers that. God offers that to everyone. God offers that to everyone as long as they're willing to cry out to him. God hears and helps and hides everyone who's willing to turn to him and claim that great benefit by faith in Christ Jesus. Can you imagine anybody rejecting that? Can you? Can you imagine anyone saying, no, no, I'm not going to accept that protection? Imagine something with me, if you will. Texans, imagine that a lab in Oklahoma invented a way to protect anyone from catching the coronavirus. Just imagine that a lab in Oklahoma came up with a drug that would do that and made it available to everyone. Can you imagine anybody here in Texas saying, no, no, I'm not going to take that. I'm going to run the risk a while longer. Can you imagine anybody doing that? Can you imagine anybody saying, no, I'm not going to take any medicine that comes out of Oklahoma? Because it's from Oklahoma, I'm not going to take that vaccine. Can you imagine anybody saying, no, you know what, I'll only accept a vaccine that's developed in Texas? Or can you imagine anybody saying, no, for any reason, I'm not going to take that vaccine for any reason. I'm not going to accept that protection from this deadly coronavirus for any reason. Of course not. Of course not. We cannot imagine that. Can you? And yet, many people don't accept this protection from God. Many people will not embrace our mighty fortress and receive this protection from God. Are you? Are you saying, well, because it requires faith in Jesus and becoming a follower of Jesus, I'm not going to accept this protection? You're not doing that, are you? You wouldn't do that, would you? God offers this protection freely, hearing us, helping us, hiding us to anyone who will turn to Christ Jesus in faith and receive Him as Savior and Lord and follow Him. Anyone who receives this protection. The mighty fortress of our God. Accept it and receive it today. Pray with me. Lord and Savior, how reassuring it is, how very comforting it is for us to read how You are there. You are our mighty fortress, hearing us, helping us, hiding us from the torrents of life, the attack of our enemies. Thank You for being there. Thank You for being who You are. Thank You for allowing us to come to You as our mighty fortress, just as the psalmist did and just as so many others have done also. We come to You this morning. We claim Your protection this morning. Father, we thank You. We thank You for loving us. We thank You for allowing us to be Your children. We thank You for hearing our prayers. Even though most of the time they're senseless babbling, You hear us and You interpret, and You move the floorboards of heaven helping us. We thank You for being there. Now, Father, if there be any out there listening right now who have been rejecting Your protection because it requires faith in Jesus, Lord, overwhelm them right now. Break them down right now. In Your love for them, break them down right now. Cause them to turn to faith in Jesus. We pray these things in Your great name and for Your sake. Amen.